to take your Bible down and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm going to read beginning at verse 1 down through verse 8. Follow along in your Bible if you can. If you can't do it, just listen carefully and quietly if you possible for you to do so. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Lodibar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Today our subject will be the sinner's reaction when dealt with by the Lord. And my friend, our text is found, as I mentioned before, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. I urge you to read this portion over and over again, because we're going to be spending several weeks on this portion, because there's so many great truths that are set forth in it. The salvation that Jehovah God bestows upon an individual is a sovereign salvation. First of all, it's one of pure grace. Secondly, it is also an experiential salvation. By being of pure grace, we mean that no sinner deserves to be saved. He cannot force the Lord to save him. And no sinner can refuse the grace of God when it goes home to the human heart. Now you listen. This reality, if true, and it is, makes the grace of God to be sovereign, selective, and irresistible, which is absolutely true. Now many of you agree with me on some of these aspects, but the vast majority of you will depart from our teaching that the grace of God is irresistible. Yet we'll just give you one of the many passages that teach the irresistibility of the grace of God. Listen again, if you will, John 6:37 through 39, where we read, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now listen. "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Beloved, this scripture is true, and the entire purpose of God hangs on whether or not it shall be completely fulfilled. If one of God's elect perish, then God is a God that can be defeated, frustrated, and overcome. Now hold your seat. This is the God people worship today, when they believe that a man can reject Christ and perish, even though Christ desires to save him. But my friend, when they believe this, it's not the God of the Bible. The second aspect concerning true salvation is that it is experiential. By this we mean that every person who is ever converted experiences conversion given to him from the Lord. Now many of you are again saying, "Amen to this truth." But yet you believe that salvation consists of going forward in a meeting, being led on a profession by a personal worker, told to utter a prayer, and then be convinced that the individual has been saved through certain scriptures. All of this sounds fine, but my friend, this is not conceptual salvation. This is contractual salvation, but it's not the way that God saves a sinner. Now hold your seat. Salvation is an experience with the Lord that occurs but once in all eternity and eclipses everything that has happened or will happen to the individual in this life. Salvation is a spiritual birth, and it is the revelation of Christ to the human heart by God the Holy Spirit, apart from any human instrumentality. Our Lord tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, where we read, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now you answer me this question, if you will. How were you converted to Christ? By instrumentality and pressure of a man, or did the Holy Spirit of God reveal Christ to your heart? My friend, if it's not the latter, you have been deceived by Satan. And always remember, he's the god of this world that blinds the minds of them that believe not. Now take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to our text in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, where we read the sinner's reaction when dealt with by the Lord. Listen again to the Word of God. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. Here we have the reaction of the sinner when God deals with him personally. Notice, first of all, it was a personal dealing. Mephibosheth knew what it meant to be summoned into the presence of King David. This son of Saul, typifying the sinner, was abruptly, suddenly, absolutely, and sovereignly summoned into the presence of David. David did not ask Mephibosheth if he wanted to come, nor if he would come, but Mephibosheth was called and fetched by David into David's presence. Now what happened here physically always happens when my Lord sets out to save the sinner. Suddenly the Holy Spirit comes upon that individual in majesty, overshadows the sinner, and makes him know what it means to be standing in the presence of a thrice holy God. Has this ever taken place in your life, my friend? Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I want you to listen like you never listened before. Look at our text again in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. Here we have the second reaction. Mephibosheth was not only suddenly called into the presence of David, but when this took place, Mephibosheth was filled with fear. The word reverence here means to be filled with great fear. You see, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we read, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now hold your seat. No man can put the fear of the Lord into the heart of an individual. The tragedy of today's so-called salvation is a total lack of the fear of God in the hearts of these converts. As they stream down the aisles, many are laughing, some are holding hands in affection, while others stroll down in curiosity, looking around at others, where they go. All this marks one vital thing. These are not filled with a fear of God. Notice our text again. Now when Mephibosheth was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. What was the uppermost thing in the mind and heart of Mephibosheth when he was brought into the presence of David? You want me to tell you? Listen carefully. Would David spare him or would he kill him? Was a plaguing question that was going through his mind. What happened here physically happens to every individual spiritually when the Lord God of heaven draws that individual into his presence. Gone is the security of the sinner. Gone also is his natural arrogance and self-sufficiency with which every sinner is possessed. Gone also, it is foolish pride that he's filled with. And my friend, as it happened to Mephibosheth, it happened also to Paul, and it happened to all the great giants of faith in bygone days, and it's still happening at this present hour. If you've missed this vital aspect in your conversion, you better go back and face reality. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and our Lord makes us wise unto salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. The sad commentary of today is that the vast majority of individuals, when they make a profession of faith, they do not know what the fear of God is all about. They do not know what it means to stand before the Lord God of heaven at His disposal. already condemned and wondering and hoping that the Lord would save the person, but he doesn't know for sure. My friend, listen, this is what goes on in the salvation of a sinner, and it's missing in the vast majority of our professions that are made at this present hour in our churches. Look at our text again in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 6. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. Here we have another reaction set forth. Now hold your seat. It is this. Every person, when dealt with by the Lord, is called by name. Jehovah God singles out that individual and calls that individual by name. And I'll tell you right now, that individual knows it experientially. You see, the salvation of God is an experiential salvation. It involves the Lord, the person, and no one else. As David called Mephibosheth by name, so the Lord calls us by name. Listen again to various texts we give them to you. John chapter 5 and verse 25. The hour is coming, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Here you have hearing the voice of the Son of God. Then in John chapter 10 and verse 27, we read again and listen to what it says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, my friend today, Mephibosheth heard David speaking to him as the great king. And when God the Holy Spirit moves upon the individual soul and shows that individual that he's being dealt with by the Lord God of heaven, let me tell you something, my friend. The individual knows what it means to be spoken to by the great king, who is the Lord God of heaven himself. Mephibosheth heard David speaking to him as the great king, as I mentioned. And then in like manner, when my Lord goes after the individual, that sinner is made to hear the voice of the Son of God. Have you ever traveled this route, my friend? Oh, has the voice of God ever pierced your consciousness? And have you ever been brought into the presence of the Lord? Oh, if this is foreign to you, my friend, face reality. Cast off that old worn-out profession that you're on and begin to ask the Lord to make you hear His voice. Because I want to tell you right now, this is the way God brings a sinner unto Himself. And are you listening? There is no other way. Remember very clearly, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. Because apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, an individual cannot be saved. Also, every individual who has been truly converted travels the same route that Mephibosheth traveled when dealt with by David. There's only one way to Christ, and that is by the way of Holy Spirit conviction, repentance, and the revelation of Christ to the heart as that individual's all-sufficient Lord and Savior. It is my hope that all of you have had this privilege, and if not, that you will have it even at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.